The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Hey, real quick, anybody want a puppy?
You already done with the dog?
God. It's like I didn't keep the receipt either. Mm-hmm. Can't give it back. This dog sucks.
What a surprise.
Yeah, right? But it's affecting me.
Okay.
And I care about that.
Yeah.
Just does not want to sleep.
Yeah.
Stubborn as hell. Chewing everything. Not like Chris.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, we have a guest waiting, and a very special guest. You'll remember him as the men's basketball coach at Sac State.
Stingers up.
Great guy. Also, as we said earlier, authored the book. Go check it out. The Road More Traveled, A Coach's View from the Bench. And as we get ready, we fill out our brackets. You know, we had some fun bracket facts earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a guy that has forgotten more basketball than most of us know. And we're happy to bring it on right now. Brian Katz. Coach Katz, it's Dave. It's Jason. Good morning.
Well, I don't know if I'm going with the fact you're exaggerating or the fact that your dog sucks. That's really good information early in the morning. It sounds like my dog, actually.
Well, you know, both can be true. I am ass-kissing. Also, it's always good to butter up the interview. But I'm not lying. And secondly, yeah, the dog. So it's a puppy, Coach. And you're a coach. You're a guy that has made a living off of training, off of giving parameters and consequences and rewards. And maybe at some point we can have an off-air conversation, because I think that's what my dog needs right now. Somebody come in there with a whistle and say, this is how it's going to be.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel for you.
Well, I know you also feel for the millions of people out there that are throwing brackets down, and you know, everybody's looking at. We had a note today that, like, 18 out of the last 20 winners have had some form of blue in their uniform.
that's the key.
Yeah. I mean, really, Coach, what's your top line advice for anyone who, like us, watches, you know, an hour of college basketball a year, and then we try to be experts in March?
You know, the big thing I look for is I try to look for teams that can win a variety of ways. In other words, they don't have one way the game has to go. Case in point, this will be easily the most entertaining game in the first round, Charleston and Alabama. These teams both shoot over 300 more threes than their opposition, and they want to get up and down 100 miles an hour. But I don't believe either one of them will get by the second round, because they can only play one way. And St. Mary's is sitting there. I believe St. Mary's will beat Grand Canyon. St. Mary's is a structured team that will slow you down and then beat you up in the half court. And neither one of those teams are built for that. So I look for teams that can win a variety of ways, fast, slow, maybe have a player in foul trouble or not. And can they win a game ugly? In other words, when they don't have their A game, can they still have a way to win when things don't go exactly their way? The other thing is, do they have older, seasoned, experienced guys? And that's why I think I'm the only guy who said this, but I picked Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to win it. Mm. They are older, experienced guys. They can play a variety of ways, and they played in a great conference. I think they're really good.
You know, Coach, as we're talking with Coach Katz here on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Coach, I think that's happening a little bit more in the last couple of years. Look, we're at the top schools. It's tough, one, to keep if they're NBA draft picks or lottery guys, players there for very long. Two, the transfer portal's now even more of a thing. So these schools that have players that have played for 2, 3, maybe 4 years, how advantageous is that for a program to have players that have played maybe 60 to 80 games together?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Case in point, you watch James Madison. I have them going to Sweet 16. I mean, no, everybody'd say, well, who is that? Well, you know, they're exactly what we just described. And I really have them beating Wisconsin and going on and beating Duke. And again, good example. Let's just talk about last night. So here everybody would vomit about last night's game watching Virginia, because it was 14 points at half and all that. But the kid Scott for Colorado State, he's a very good player. Last year, he's a Division II player at Black Hills State. South Dakota. This year, he's the second leading scorer on a team that's really, really good. And this is a guy who was a Division II player. So all of a sudden, Colorado State can trade up, and they get a guy a little bit under the radar, but now he's older. He's 22. He's 23. He's a man. He's not 18 years old. And that's why I think Kentucky, everybody likes them. I don't love them. I like them. I don't love them because they have a lot, some young, they have a mix, but they have some very, very young guys, super talented. But again, when push comes to shove, I think it's the older, experienced, seasoned teams that have a tendency to win in this thing.
You know, Coach, just overall, and Jason alluded to this a little bit, but you know, you look at last year, and we've been kind of on this question this year. It's a common question we ask our guests. You look at the Final Four, and just how crazy that Final Four ended up being, with seeds all over the place, with the San Diego States and Miami's and all that stuff. To you, is that an anomaly, or is that going to be more the norm than the exception going forward, especially this year?
You know what? I think it's going to be more the norm for exactly the reasons we talked. The transfer portal, the NIL, I think it's going to be more the norm. I really do. Teams can quickly all of a sudden get a player or two and trade up. And, of course, good example. Here's North Carolina. Now, they got a really good team, but they lose the Pac-12 player of the year, the kid that goes out and goes to Arizona. I mean, really, really, Caleb Love, good player. They lose him. All of a sudden you'd say, well, they're not going to be very good. Now, it seems to have turned out. They've got a good club. But you think about it. In the past, you'd never lose a guy of that stature. He's been an all-conference player a couple years in a row. And by the way, it looks like I have Arizona playing North Carolina in the West Elite Eight game, in what everybody's calling the Caleb Love game, meaning, you know, he was at North Carolina, and now he's at Arizona.
You know, Coach, you could speak to this, and this is something maybe I've struggled with over the years, because, I mean, for a lot of people that maybe if they watch college basketball in general, so they're going to know about Kansas, they're going to know about Izzo at Michigan State and Kentucky or UCLA, pick all your different regions, just big power conferences. But you were at Sac State, so a Big Sky team, UC Davis, a Big West team. You mentioned Drake. People are talking about Morehead State, teams like that. When you get to the tournament and people see a record, but they know they're from a lesser conference, it's really hard for people unlike you, who's a coach that maybe studies film and sees these teams, to really evaluate these smaller conferences. What do you see as the differences in maybe what would be deemed as a smaller conference versus a traditional power conference?
Well, probably a traditional power conference, they have a pro or two, which is always the difference maker. You know, you go down, at the end of the day, we can break this down all we want, but the team that probably has the most pros, and I'm talking about NBA pros, will win it. Now, typically, a Big Sky, Big West type team, every now and then they have one of those guys, and that's how they get on a magical run. But if they don't, and again, here's the case in point. Tennessee's best player, Dalton Knecht, who is probably going to be a lottery pick. Last year, where was he playing? Northern Colorado in the Big Sky. I remember coaching against him when I've been out 3 years. He was kind of a skinny freshman. You went, he could be pretty good. Well, he didn't know he was going to grow to be 6'6 and about 215, 220. I mean, he's as good as anybody right now. So typically, those teams, if they can get a guy like that who's a huge difference maker, all of a sudden they can really jump up.
Coach, I want to ask you about a specific matchup in the first round, number 7 Dayton, number 10 Nevada. Every year there's one matchup that really, really flummoxes me. Because on one hand, you know, there's local ties here with Nevada. They're always well coached. Then you've got the Dayton Flyers. And I feel like every other year we hear Greg Gumbel saying, and the Dayton Flyers did something great. As a guy who, again, has not paid attention all year, how do you see that 7-10 matchup going?
I have Dayton winning. I think, you know, if you watch them all year long, they've been way high up in the net, and they're a very good club, very balanced. I think they're a little bit better defensively on the boards than Nevada, and I think that'll be the difference in the game. But, yeah, no, they've got a great program. If you go back in time over years, they've been really good. They're not – the only thing is I'd say is they're not real deep, but, boy, they kill you at the three-point line. They've made 70 more threes than their opponent. and they make more free throws than their opponents have attempted.
Wow.
So, they've made 453 free throws. Their opponents have made 294 and only attempted 401. So they have two huge statistical advantages. I always look at four things. You got to win at the three-point line, foul line, the boards, and turnovers. Now, if you win three of those four, you're awful good. Some teams have a huge statistical advantage. Dayton does. At the three-point line and at the foul line, they just crush you. So I believe that will be the difference, and I think they will beat Nevada.
Okay, and then another specific game. This one's on everyone's minds because everyone wants to look for their first-round upsets, and the 5-12 is now turned to the 4-13s or the 6-11s, and that's the one I'm focusing on Friday at noon. Number 6, Clemson. Number 11, New Mexico. This seems to be the upset du jour, except New Mexico's favored over Clemson in this situation. Anything worrying you about that matchup?
I think New Mexico will win. Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, their guards are really good. Their record's a little bit deceiving because those two kids were out for a number of games. But let's go back to, and I'm going to just generalize for a minute, ACC is evidenced by last night, not a great conference this year. In my opinion, they have two really good teams, North Carolina and Duke. Virginia was third, okay? Clemson was fifth or sixth, way down there. New Mexico can really score. I think they're lightning in a bottle. I think they'll beat them. I really do.
Coach, so what was your Final Four? I know you mentioned Tennessee. Who else did you end up with for your picks?
I have Tennessee and Houston, UConn and Arizona. I think Arizona will beat North Carolina in the Elite Eight, and I think then Tennessee will beat Houston. Now, I want to put an asterisk by Houston. I think this is the thing that always enters into it. I watched them. You know, they're really good, and they still are, of course. In December, they lost a kid named Arsenault to injury. Well, he's only averaging 5 points. Well, the way they play, they like to run a lot of guys in and out and beat you up on the boards and just choke you out defensively. Then they lost the freshman kid, Tugler, who's a really good player. Really good player. Depth. And now Juwan Roberts got hurt in the tournament. Kind of, you know, is that the same team now? That's the question. So I have Houston there, I have UConn, and I have Arizona. I have Tennessee beating UConn in the final.
Wow. So let me ask you this, Coach, and I'm not going to ask you, you know, this is such a tough question. Give us a couple of teams. Based on last year, you had your Florida Atlantic, you had your San Diego State, your Miami, and I know Florida Atlantic, that's a 9 seed versus a couple of 5 seeds, but who are a couple of teams you see this year that maybe in a couple of weeks we're all sitting here going, oh, my God, they went that far?
I think BYU. Wow. I think BYU is going to get all the way to the Elite Eight. And here's the reason why. This is an amazing deal. Over half of their shots are threes, and they can make them. They've shot 404 threes in their opponents. They have a variety of guys, yet they have some size inside. And I'll tell you, the Big 12, you talk about, really have them battle-tested. I see them beating Duquesne. I haven't beaten Illinois in the second round, and I haven't beaten Iowa State. I mean, they are really a hard team. They can put 5 guys on the court at all times that can shoot it, and yet the big guys who can shoot it are still thick enough and strong enough to guard you down low. So I have BYU going to Elite Eight.
That's Brian Katch, Coach Brian Katch, former Major Coach of the Year. The Road More Travel to Coach's View from the Bench is the book he wrote. Look it up. Get it. Grab it. Get more educated. Coach, we appreciate that. Everyone's looking for all the help they can get on their brackets, and a few people as good to listen to on that as you. So we appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks so much. And all you got to do to get that is just go to Amazon, and you can order it as we speak.
Go there. Perfect.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
Amazon's got everything.
Yeah, Amazon does have does have everything. Almost. What did I try to order? You can't order you can't order those little tanks of propane from Amazon. I'm not talking about the big ones that you hook up to your barbecue. I'm talking about like the little green Coleman ones.
Okay. There's probably a reason for that, I guess. But
yeah, I'm sure there is.
Amazing. Like, you can get it like, didn't I just order this morning? And here it is in the doorstep.
We're pretty much like there if you're smart enough to have it all hooked up, but you're pretty much there where you can, if you wanted to and you're savvy enough, like pretty much have your house. Like my fridge now has an option, which I don't have turned on, where when the water filter runs out, All I got to do is put my Amazon info in there, and it will automatically order a water filter. Wow. It can see how many. If I put the egg container in the right place, the clear egg container that came with the fridge, it has a camera in there that will tell you when you're low on eggs. And if you have this thing turned on, will order eggs for you from Amazon Marketplace. That's a little weird for me.
Yes, a lot weird.
That's something my kids would do when they're older. That's a little weird for me. When we come back, opening day in Korea is a little weird for me.
That's weird.
The Seoul game today happening out there between the Dodgers and Padres. We'll talk a little bit about that, more bracket talk, and more next.
They bleed black and purple. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sacktown Sports.
Number 3, Illinois versus number 14, Morehead State.
I've have two brackets. One, if I've picked each team in that one.
I think part of the problem is growing up in the 90s, like, I always have a soft spot for Illinois. Because, you know, they were good.
Yeah.
And now they're sometimes good, sometimes not. Good old Morehead State. I don't even know who they are, the whoevers.
Probably the Wildcats.
No. Sounds about right. By the way, we read this to start the show, a disturbing bracket trend that only Reddit could pull up. And I'm going to be very careful here and use innuendo. Because
they're the Eagles, by the way.
They're the Eagles, the Morehead State Eagles. Yeah. In every tournament since 2021, a top two seed. That's close enough.
Yeah.
A top two seed has lost in the first round to a team with a suggestive name.
Okay.
Okay. Now, we're not trying to be shock jocks. He's a real college name.
Yeah.
In 2021, number 15, Oral Roberts, defeated number 2, Ohio State. In 2022, number 15, St. Peter's, defeated number 2, Kentucky. In 2023, number 16, Farley Dickinson, defeated Purdue. That's 3 years in a row. Once is happenstance, twice is a coincidence, three times is a pattern. Be warned, this year, number 1 Houston will face number 16 Longwood. So, actually, now that I think about it, I don't even want to say it in context, but we may want to go back to that Illinois game as well. I don't know what to do with that.
I've got a question for you about brackets.
Uh-huh.
As a longtime participant in brackets.
And I'd like you to include in the future former, I have a ring. Former champion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should respect that.
Yeah,
title.
I feel like
former champion and kind of a runner-up, even though you technically weren't runner-up, but you would have been a champion.
Would have been.
Final game gone differently.
If it wasn't for Mario Chalmers.
That bothers you more than the win you celebrate.
Well, you know what? That's such a great insight into my personality.
But
yes.
But I think that's common for a lot of people. It's like, oh, we won 4 championships, but that other one, that fifth one, I'm so, like, you won 4 titles.
I am far more upset at the Mario Chalmers year where I lost on that stupid shot.
Who did you win with?
Was it Virginia?
Did you?
Was it Virginia?
That year?
Maybe it wasn't. I don't.
Either way.
Yeah, I should know. But I remember that. I can't even remember who it was.
The
one
wound.
But the cool thing is I finally now, when we have our whole get together and we all wear our jerseys, I get the little gold patch on the back.
You do. Yeah. You do.
Anyways.
I think it's already answered in that response. What's worse to have your bracket done tomorrow or Friday, basically, if your champ is out? Or if you have the champ, but you're one of 40 people and you're in like 29th place just because of you lost the Illinois Moorheads. Like, you're like, I'm too far behind. I can't mathematically catch up.
I think the worst thing is when you lose your champ early. Because
then you're just
because
done.
Then you're just. You're just
and I'll always try to talk. Like, well, if. No, I'm out. There's no way.
There is a unique feeling that happens, and honestly, I would put brackets in there. The closest to that feeling when you're out, especially early, It's very much like when the Niners lost the Super Bowl. It's the same type of depression. It's like, I got to wait a whole nother year. Yeah. I'm going to be this, how many years old? I start thinking about how old my kids will be. Like, I have to wait this whole time.
If you lose your champion in a bracket?
If I lose my champion in a bracket, it feels like when, or the last day the Kings lost in the playoffs last year. It's this depression knowing that you've got to wait a whole day after Christmas.
Yeah.
You got to wait a whole year to do it again.
Okay, so but now.
Christmas is usually fun.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Everything else is super. Okay, this isn't the same, but also it's a little bit of the feeling of when you buy a lotto ticket when it's $700 million. Uh-huh. And everybody does this. You know you're not going to win, but you allow yourself minute or two to imagine it. I will when I go to sleep. That's my go-to-sleep thought. I'm like, I got the ticket right here. Here's what things would be like. And then I fall asleep. And then when the lotto numbers are red, you know you weren't winning.
Yeah.
But still, there's a tiny part of you that's like, why am I alive? No, we'll see. That's you. Next time. Me, I'm like, why am I even alive?
Yeah, but
statistically, you can't win the lottery.
Statistically, you can't win the lottery?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Like, it's impossible to win the lottery. The odds are so insane.
Yeah, isn't it like you have the odds of getting struck by lightning three times or this? I don't know.
I think it might be more than that.
Anyways, you finish your question.
So I guess here's an offshoot of that. Would you rather lose your champ like in the first day, first weekend, or at the end?
At the end.
You would? Now you've got a couple weeks of torture.
I do. But a couple weeks of torture, but also a couple weeks of engagement.
So this isn't lining up. I guess what I'm getting to is where your Kings thought.
It's not. You're right.
Would you rather make the playoffs like 10 years in a row and be out in the first round or lose in the final? It's like, either way, they're both painful.
I will tell you this much. The Carmichael Dave end of the March Madness coverage on this show will be decidedly different.
If I'm in it or not,
just out of natural engagement. If I'm still, I'm watching every minute of every game. I'm charting. I'm doing the math.
Yeah.
If I lose my champion in the first week or whatever, then I start thinking stuff like the guy who gets rejected by the girl he asked to the dance. Hey, Bonnie, do you want to go to the dance with me? No, you're stupid. And then later on, he's like, well, she's ugly anyways.
Yeah, I
didn't want to go with her.
Wow, that was a really good analogy.
See? I start convincing myself, like, you know what? This bracket stuff is dumb.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
And then you're secretly like, oh, Jason and Chris are still in. No, I'm not rooting for them.
No, secretly.
Secretly.
Openly, I'm super rooting for you.
I hope you guys win,
It's like if your friend won the lotto. You're like, of course you're going to be openly happy for them, but that go-to-sleep thought is going to be like murdering them and taking their money. Not for real, let's be clear, but you're going to think about it, but you're going to turn the pages in the brochure a couple times.
About murder.
Yikes.
Chris, remind to not tell Dave if we win the lottery.
Sometimes I say things out loud.
You do.
And they just...
But they're real thoughts.
And by the way, can I say when I say murdering, I mean that emotionally.
You want to emotionally murder somebody?
And I'm going to emotionally take your money.
Everyone knows if they had a friend that won the lotto, you'd really be happy for them for real. For real.
Yes.
But there'd be this, like if they had a work pool here and everybody bought in and you didn't. And they won the lotto, you're going to be happy for them. You're going to hug and like all that.
Oh, I would not be happy for them.
I would be happy for them, but I would also go home and on the drive home, just like, remember how dude in the Christmas Story with the Bumpus Hounds? I'd be all the swear words would come out because, you know, jealousy, envy, not good traits, but you have them.
Yeah.
It's got to be on. Like Tyrese Halliburton said, you got to be open and let these things out. Too many people bottle them up. So anyways,
absolutely insane.
I don't hate anybody for anything. We'll take a break.
Tell us about your sleep thoughts tomorrow, your go-to-bed thoughts.
Well, it's going to be hopefully about a Sacramento Kings win.
Better be.
Over the Toronto Raptors tonight. Let's take a look at that, and we need a full segment because we have to list everybody that's out for Toronto, which of course means the Raptors will probably win, but we'll tell you how the Kings can come back from that.
Even the Raptors out.
Even the actual Raptor is injured due to, it says, Raptor out extinction. We'll be right back after this.
The Carmen. Michael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
On Sacktown Sports.
You can text us at 916-339-1140. A couple of cleanup texts we should get to. Guys, I don't know if you know this or not, but I have the perfect bracket right now. My expectations are not unrealistic. It's going to be incredible. First game, if it happens I lose, I rip the whole thing up. It's all over. What was the point? But for now, I am the most incredible bracketologist in the world. It is very similar when you fill out a bracket. It is a very similar feeling to when you wrap up a fantasy draft. And yes. You look at it and you're like, God, I'm 100% winning the title this
year. Yeah. I mean, you pick the players you wanted for a reason. Like, yeah. There might be someone that went right before you or after. Maybe. Now, you and I are in the same situation this year where Florida State's been in it before, maybe even been a pretty good seed.
Yeah.
And so then you have to decide on that. For me, UCLA, I would say I generally probably go around too far maybe with them, but never – I don't remember the last time. Maybe in the Kevin Love years I picked them to win it all because I'm like, I think they could. They made the Final Four three or four years. But even the last couple of years when they were good and made some tournament runs, I didn't have them as far as they went.
I'm very guilty of underestimating my favorite teams.
Yeah.
Like I over-argue with myself to not be a homer.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it screws me over.
Well, and that's the weirdest one for me is that's generally the team I've seen the most. So it's like, I know the strengths.
Yeah.
But I certainly know the flaws. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they could be. And then I put all this stuff on. I don't think they could beat, you know, Connecticut because look what they've got. It's like, all right, they've beaten plenty of good teams this year. So
yeah.
So if UCLA's top priority, then right. It's bracket for me. So now it's all bracket.
Well, and then you do the thing where you're like I was doing with, what was it, Marquette, where they lost to, like, what was it, UConn three times. So I'll look at a team and be like, oh, well, they beat this team, this, or they got beat by this team, and this team. And then I have to click on the team that beat them to see if they beat it. Oh, no, yes. But they lost to these horrible teams. Oh, right. My, what is it, like Virginia sucked and lost yesterday. ACC, they were third in the ACC. Oh, yeah. My God, North Carolina's in the ACC. Well, what does that mean? Well, yeah. North Carolina did well against them.
Yeah. So maybe I should put Duke lower, too.
Also, from the 801 off that last conversation, if your best friend wins like $500 million in the lottery, is it in poor taste to ask for like $25,000? I mean, when you have $500 million, $25,000 is like asking for $5, right? First off, if it's your best friend, and they win $500 million. You should not have to ask for $25,000. Like, for if I won $500,000, like, you guys are getting $25,000. Everyone I know, well, not everyone I know, but I'm going to write a list, and I'm going to basically have a cashier's check for each person. I'm going to send it to them or give it to them and be like, hey, listen, I want to avoid all this lottery winning crap. Like, I love you. Here's your thing. Just don't ever ask me for anything.
Exactly.
And like, that's your thing.
Yeah, I mean, I know this happens. I couldn't say I know it from experience, but I gotta believe it happens when, like, the uncle and the cousin and people come out of the woodworks. But if you ask a family member or a friend, like, unless it's a dire thing, but then the dire thing is, hey, I need whatever to pay for this bill.
If it's like Billy needs kidney,
yeah.
I'll take the phone call.
But you don't need, well.
But what kind of interest?
Hey,
are you
I need a million. You don't need $1 million.
You don't need no. But it's more like the worst ones have to be when, like, your uncle,
yeah,
who you like grew up and influenced you and you look up to, like a parent, is like, you know, Jason, hey, gotta tell you, I went to the seminar. And listen, filtered shower water is the next thing.
Can't miss.
I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think I'm stupid, do you? You don't think I'd be taken by this? And then you're like,
can I answer that?
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. Yeah. Gave all my money away. Sorry.
I gave it all to charity. You know what I'd do is I'd find, that's what I would do. I would call all the like brokerages and I would simply be like, I have a weird question. Do you have a rep named Charity? And as soon as I found one, then I could tell everybody I gave all my money to charity. And I'm
not. Some places that have people named Charity.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Well, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
And then I'm not lying.
Right.
Don't know if you saw this or not. Demontis Sabonis was on with the Deuce and Mo. Did you see this?
I did.
They asked him if he enjoyed the chant. That's the Demontis Sabonis chant.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering. Here's what he said.
I'm embracing it. My kid loves it. Yes. He sings it. He has a dance to it. He's obsessed with it.
I mean, keep doing it.
Yeah.
I will say again, and I say this only out of love and not out of greediness, because the Kings have been, instrumental. Like, they've done wonderful things to establish that champ. But we've said it before, it's right on the precipice of being fully adopted. I'd say a good 50, 60, 70% are into it now, depending on also the play. Yeah. You just need a couple of games with the bouncing lyric
ball. The karaoke ball, whatever, with lyrics on, or with verbiage on
verbiage
on the big board, and it's in.
As soon as you hit the button for the music, have that button attached to the video screen button, and the little ball, do, Montes, and everyone will go, oh, that's what everybody's saying. And then that's it.
I mean, maybe is it safe for the postseason?
Do you think we do it for the postseason, you mean? Or
maybe that's the time to bring it out.
Oh, to bring out the bouncing ball? Okay.
Or do you want it in place?
I want it in place for the... I want...
Everything buttoned up.
This thing will be official when we get a national TV commentator being like, and if you're wondering what... Because they've done that for Keegan.
Yeah.
Saying, if you're wondering what they're singing, it's Domantas Sabonis, and then go into this whole thing about a soliloquy about how the Sacramento Kings fans are the best in the world, and they're the most unique, and blah, blah, blah. And by the way, if it's up to me... Almost every player has. I want every player to have a thing.
Yeah.
I'm the same guy that wants a soccer-style song sung in the third quarter.
Right.
We need a fight song. But we're not there, you know?
Yeah. Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Yeah.
What was it Jodie Foster's dad in Contact used to tell her all the time?
I did not see that movie. Oh.
You haven't seen Contact? Mm-hmm. I'm having deja vu. I feel like we've talked about that before.
Dr. Lecter?
No.
Is that what she said?
No. No. Wrong
18 times over.
Wrong Jodie Foster movie.
Dr. Lecter.
Contact is one of those movies that I would put in. It's certainly no Shawshank Redemption or the Mel Gibson, The Patriot, where you can just watch it whenever. Hunt for Red October. It is one of those movies, though, that's incredibly rewatchable. I highly suggest get a chance to throw on Contact.
After The Crown.
I don't feel like you're going to watch The Crown.
I 100% will not.
Well, you're missing out, pal. Just like Jacob Pertl, or Jakob Pertl, is going to be out. He will miss The Crown, and he will miss tonight's game. Emmanuel Quickly, R.J. Barrett. R.J.'s still out for that tragedy with his brother. Yeah. Florida State's Scotty Barnes, Chris Boucher, and D.J. Carton.
Oh, D.J. Carton's out?
D.J. Carton's out, but will be appearing at Thunder Valley sometime later this summer. Wonderful show.
Yes.
That's the turntables and all that. Also, DJ Carton. He's a basketball player. DJ Carton is he's a musical artist. Also a radio show in New York and sports.
Yes. DJ Carton.
DJ Craig Carton. Yes. So they're all out for tonight's game. I know.
Red alert. Red alert.
Well, Jason, let's take a look, shall we? Let's go to the NBA. Let's go to tonight's games and Kings Raptors 4:30 right here on your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports. I believe Chris went first yesterday, I think. Jason, who is favored? They're in Toronto.
Kings.
Kings are favored, you say? Okay. And by how much? By the way, before you answer, Kevin Huerter and Sahas Vezenkov. Kevin Huerter's out.
Sahas.
I'm calling him that. That's what it says on the sheet.
It's Sahas.
It's Sahas. Yeah. I'm calling him that for the rest of the year.
Sahas Castillo.
Sahas Castillo is great. I'm putting the little line over. What would it be over the A?
What's the little line?
Goes over the letter. Sahas.
Which
Castillo.
A?
I feel like the second one is probably way
Sahas.
Wrong. Or do I put like the two dots over the H?
Oh, maybe.
What is it? Isn't that an umlaut? For some reason, I know that.
Sounds right.
It sounds right, right? An umlaut, which sounds like a car.
Or a breakfast.
Or a breakfast.
I ate an umlaut.
I ate a cheese umlaut.
A Denver umlaut.
So
Sahas, that's great.
Vezenkov, it's been upgraded to questionable.
What's up with Tri Lyles?
Tri Lyles is not playing.
Okay.
Kevin Huerter is not playing. And again, all those other people are out for the Raptors. So Jason Ross.
All right. Kings road game.
I'll watch an umlaut. Like,
7.5.
Kings 9.5.
Oh.
We do not have a correct answer. And might I add, both of you both of you are too low.
Above 9.5?
The Sacramento Kings are favored by 11.5 in Toronto. Okay. Now, I've been very confident, and I'm on a really good streak right now. We are, I should say, as a show, when it comes to predicting these outcomes, or at least the style of games. I will admit, this one's got me a little bit. I do think the Kings will win. I do believe the Kings will win. But will they win by 12 or more is the question. This is a... My heart says they will, but my brain says, are you stupid? Of course they won't. This is going to be like a hard-fought seven-point win.
We'll take it.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Raptors on the points, though.
All right, I'm looking at their past results here.
The Kings don't generally do... I mean, for some reason, I remember a Peja Stojakovic overtime three in Toronto.
I think it was triple overtime.
Was it triple overtime
in franchise history?
That was the same time that in our school, we had a triple overtime game in the playoffs against New Life Christian.
I remember that. Remember? And didn't we cover both the next day?
We were both in the paper for a triple overtime game.
Wow, look at that. The New Life Christian Bears?
I don't remember what they were.
Who were you guys?
Sacramento Lutheran Panthers.
The Panthers.
Also, last year they were there, and Mike Brown got tossed from that game.
Yeah, he did. Physically. Came back. Yeah.
Yes. So they've lost seven in a row.
They have.
Here's their losses. To the Pelicans by, 42?
Oh, my God.
41, excuse me.
Okay.
To the Suns by 7 on the road.
Okay.
To the Blazers by 10 in overtime.
Okay, we couldn't beat the Blazers.
To the Nuggets by 6.
That's good.
Was when they were leading the whole game. Denver had a big second half. They lost to the Pistons by 9.
Yes.
Lost to the Magic by 10. And lost to the Magic by 15.
Okay.
Half might be good spread.
This tonight would not be a Willoughby.
Why?
Well, because I think the Pistons at home is the Willoughby.
This would be up there, though.
They're on a seven-game losing streak?
Seven-game losing streak without the players you mentioned. It's pretty significant.
Tonight would technically be classified as an Oot Willoughby.
Okay, I need to go to the chart. I don't see it on my chart. What's that mean?
It's a new phrase because we're having a lot of these or enough of these. It sounds German, perhaps, an Oot Willoughby.
Yeah.
One of the worst losses of the year. But I don't think, nothing's topping Pistons at home, right? I don't think. Even Wizards on the road, unless they lose by like 30, 20.
When you say nothing, I felt like we were going down that road recently. Oh, maybe the Spurs game.
The Spurs?
Without Wembanyama, and it was home out of the All-Star break, plenty of rest.
Yeah, it would have been, that would have been a conversation.
Yeah.
Hey. Oot Willoughby. We're going to have like a 12-letter acronym next year. We'll take a break. When we come back, who's hot, who's not? And we got a who?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh. I hope Chris does.
He does.
We also have a 3 in the key for tonight's game, Kings and Raptors. And Kate Christensen will join us at the top of the hour, Sacramento Kings TV analyst, live from Toronto. We'll get all that right after this.
Hey, Chris. Who's hot?
One more with passion.
Hey, Chris. Who's hot?
Hot.
Keon Ellis.
Keon
Ellis.
With the unfortunate injury of Kevin Herter, Coach Brown said that Keon Ellis will get the start, but that could be good news for the Kings. So far this season, Keon Ellis is 6-0 with the Kings when he starts a game.
That's undefeated.
Point spread should be higher.
Sorry, I was. I'll break this out during a crosstalk, but I was on the phone during the break with a person that knows things, talking about both the Styles and Watkins show.
Yeah. Oh, the Monk.
The
Monk,
the fastest growing show in Sacramento.
Absolutely.
Their idea is to have them play the sample of "We Want the Funk."
Yeah.
After a Malik Monk pass.
Yes.
I love that idea because, I mean, I get the sound they're playing now, but it's like it's kind of weird.
It is a little weird.
Right? A little weird. A little funky. Yeah. You know, that's fine. But I feel like I actually like, we want the funk. People can vibe out and dance to it all out. And so I wanted to pass that along, and I'll let them know what was said.
Okay.
And then also threw out the idea of the Sabonis lyric.
Yeah.
And they said that maybe they could get the ribbons, the little, how would you describe what the ribbon is?
Oh, for like karaoke?
Yeah, but I'm talking about for in the arena, there's the scoreboard graphics,
yeah,
and then there's the little line.
Oh, like where people put like the Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's called a ribbon.
Our name shows up there.
Yes, it does. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe they activate those a couple times because we want it in place for the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So we are officially, I feel like we are becoming the official vibes partner.
Yeah.
Of the Sacramento Kings.
For sure.
So who's not hot then?
Players being guarded by Keon Ellis. This is courtesy of Sacktown Sports Insider Frankie Cardicelli.
Frankie Clicks, as heard earlier.
When Keon Ellis was guarding Memphis Grizzlies, they only shot 6 points and 2 of 13 from the field. Also might want to add into the who's not the currently the Toronto Raptors, who the Kings play tonight.
Uh-huh.
They've lost 7 in a row, lost 9 of their last 10 games.
Yeah. That's why this would be in the Woloti conversation.
It would.
You can't. Right. If you're a serious team, dude.
And now it's more of, to me, it's actually how the game goes. Like if the Kings are up 30 and all of a sudden you're losing, like you may go into the game going like, this doesn't have a candidate for it. But then the game becomes that.
Then the game definitely becomes that. All right, 3 in the key tonight. Kings wrap. John Tesh, Christopher Laud. Who's in there? Who is that?
Joe Girose.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Sorry, I didn't know who it was.
Who did you think it was?
I thought it was a – because he's wearing a shirt and khakis. And so I thought it was a salesperson coming up and stealing donuts, which I just found out were here during the break. And I was going to yell at them. Joe's one of the guys.
Yeah.
And by the way, brought in waffle cookie thing.
He did. That's right. Last
we enjoyed those. So he is full.
Yeah. Go
full,
for it.
Full all access pass for Joe Girose.
Absolutely.
Never mind. 3 in the key. Go.
Okay. Right. Here we go. Let's start with Chris had him in Who's Hot, Who's Not, Keon Ellis. Dave, we are asking for Keon Ellis steals and blocks. Coming off the 5-block performance.
Is this each and each or combined?
Each and each.
I'm going to go 3 and 3.
3 steals, 3 blocks. I'm going to say 3 and 1. Chris?
I'm going to say 2 and 3.
3 blocks. Look at that. All right. Malik Monk. We were just talking about him as well.
Yeah.
We want Monk dunks and Monk threes.
Okay. Question about Monk dunks.
Yeah.
Are these dunks that count?
Yes.
Okay. Not just televised dunks.
Right.
Okay. Monk dunks and threes. Monk dunks. By the way.
But I can't dunk.
Not for nothing. Speaking of helping out the Kings.
Uh-huh.
Want to make some money? How about a new dessert? Maybe a milkshake and 3 Oreo cookies and you got Monk dunks. Nice. You dunk the Oreo in the shake.
Yeah.
Boom. Monk dunk.
Okay.
Monk dunk. New dessert. Golden One Center. Coming soon.
It was okay.
Okay, you're right. I'll think it through.
Monk dunks.
I'm going to go with 2 Monk dunks.
Okay.
And 4 Monk threes.
I'm going to go with 0 Monk dunks. Sorry. Wow. He saves that for home.
I hope you're wrong.
And 3 Monk threes.
I'm going to say 2 dunks, 4 threes.
That's the same as Dave.
Yeah. Oh. Is that the same?
Yep.
Son of a.
And then random stats. Something different. Something odd. Something weird. Something you're predicting.
I will say the Kings will beat the Raptors. Don't write this down yet. The Kings will beat the Raptors so bad that they will actually be sent to Canadian prison as, like, for insulting the country and King Charles III, who is still the sovereign there. I learned that in The Crown.
All right, I won't.
But if that doesn't happen, I will say that we will not. We may see 2 Monk dunks. We'll see a JaVale McGee dunk tonight.
Oh.
JaVale McGee, did you know this? When playing in Canada, averages 34 points per 36 minutes for his career.
Look it up.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
That's what I That's what I feel.
Yes.
.gov.
I'm going to say double figures for Duarte.
Oh.
Yes.
Double figure Duarte. That's what they called him in school.
They did.
Chris.
The Kings will not trail in this game.
Wire to wire.
Wow.
Okay.
A lot of confidence exuding. We'll talk to Canada's Katie Christensen when we come back, and she will break all this down and more. Katie, right after the break.